Welcome to this week's episode of Nuts About Thrust, where we talk about all things aviation maintenance. My name is John, and today we have a guest with us, Jeffrey McCoy. He is a designated maintenance examiner with the FAA, and he's going to talk about the oral and practical exams. And I know there's lots of information on the internet, and students have lots of questions, and mechanics have lots of questions, and there's lots of rumors and things about the exam that go around, and Jeff is the expert, and we wanted to have him on, and we really appreciate it. And if Jeff, you want to kind of talk about yourself or your background or whatever and say hello.
Right. Yeah. I said, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I know you've been trying to get me here for about 4 months. but yeah, my name's Jeffrey McCoy, and designated mechanic examiner for the North Texas FISDO since 2006. And the testing's changed in the last year. Coming up August 1st, it'll be 1 year since the new test has started. And in the first year, there's been a lot of changes. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of people's, well, I heard this, my instructor told me this, my coworkers told me this. Well, the person to ask is the person that administers the test. The test isn't more difficult. It's just different. It's not easier. It's not harder. It's just different now. It's the airman certification standards. They restructured it. And where it makes it a little easier now is people know what's going to be on their test now, roughly, because in the FAA's website under airman certification, there's a PDF that lists all the airman certification codes based on what subjects and questions that they miss off of their computer exams, their knowledge exams, so they can map out their test. It's no longer that fear of the unknown of it's random and we don't know what we're going to have. And that's what people don't quite understand. And there's no good direction to lead people to that. The FAA, they update their website from time to time. And sometimes it's not the easiest to navigate. And I get phone calls, text messages, and emails every day from people all over the world about this. Though I discuss this daily. The testing is based on your deficiencies now. So when people take their knowledge exams, they're already nervous. Some people, they memorize very well, and they go in and they score high. The one thing I've learned with this new test is scoring high makes your oral and practical a little more complex, because when I download an oral and practical exam, the computer searches out the knowledge exams, and it finds the codes that they were deficient in, and it generates their oral and practical based on that. Well, if they score very high, there's less deficiencies for the computer to find, so it's a more random test, which means more to study for the applicant when they test. If they score between a 70 to, say, around an 83, and they cross-reference these airman certification codes to the PDF from the website, they can map out exactly what should be on their test. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect. The system is not perfect. I've had one or two where I've downloaded the test and none of the projects or questions had anything to do with what was missed on their test. Some of them, when I've downloaded it, they've had much of what they missed, but other things were added into it that they didn't miss. And sometimes it throws me for a surprise, and it also the applicant who's testing. But this test is not to determine if someone is a master mechanic. It's to determine if they have the basic knowledge and basic skills. I'm not there to sell a license. I'm not there to fail someone. I'm there to ask the questions to determine their knowledge, administer the hands-on practical projects, and watch to see if they have the basic knowledge and skills. Do they know how to use a technical manual? Can they read? Do they know the difference between a rock and a hammer? Can they use the proper tools? One of the problems with technology, and now with tablets, computers, PDFs, everything converting to this. Applicants, students, all ages forgot how to use a book. This is a problem. They forgot how to use, most important, an index. An index is invaluable when it comes to doing this stuff, because the reference material that we can use on the practical comes from the FAA's handbooks, the 8083 handbooks. With each project, there are two questions that I'm required to ask that go with the project. These they're allowed to look up. Mm-hmm. And
And they're only allowed to look them up using the handbook?
Well, no. It depends. Mm-hmm. Most of these questions, the answers are word for word out of the handbooks mm-hmm. or from the FARs or from the AC-4313. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes out of the technical manuals for the project that's being performed. Mm-hmm. But it's usually a very specific project dealing. A good example would be, you know, if they have to install a tow bar and it may say, okay, where would the person find the information necessary to install a tow bar?
Right.
Well, they can show in a manual. But it's a very basic question. Some of these questions are with the answers are very basic, and it's something we all know. But when people do a test, their brains do crazy things. Mm-hmm. If I ask, and I use this as an example when I speak at schools, at military bases, and companies. If I ask you, what color is my gray shirt? The answer is gray. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, it's not, well, it's made in this factory in this country with this type of material, or I know the answer. I can see it right there on you. I know the answer. It's right there. But since I'm allowed to look it up, I'm going to go into the book and look up to see what color your gray shirt is. Mm-hmm. And they'll turn page by page by page instead of going to an index. All right. They're in the index. It says gray shirts, chapter and page this mm-hmm. and go straight to it and find it. And they'll spend 20, 30, 40 minutes trying to find something very basic when they already have it here. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to testing, like I said, you can be the best student, the best mechanic, know it all, be it all. But if you're a bad test taker, there's nothing I can do. I sit back and watch. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to teach during the test.
Your shirt, I would say, is more like a heathered gray.
Right. and being colorblind, it's a safe color for me to wear.
Right.
Because, you know, for years and years, me and my wife would go and we'd look for things for the house. I go, wow, I really like this. And she goes, you like that? Well, yeah. And then when she found out I was colorblind, she goes, this explains why you can't dress yourself. This explains why you like these colors. Uh-huh. So
can we take just a second to back up? I mean, I know there's people that are watching that aren't aircraft mechanics.
Right.
So what Jeff's talking about is the three knowledge exams or written exams that are administered by the FAA from currently what is called a PSI test center. We have one here at Thrust. Mm-hmm. So we have a written exam at the end of each one of the major subjects. So the general is a subject. We have a general written exam. It's 60 questions. It's multiple choice. And then you have one for the power plant. It's 100 questions, multiple mm-hmm. choice, and one for airframe, which is 100 questions, multiple mm-hmm. choice. And once they have those three exams completed, they go see Jeff.
Right.
And then they will do an oral exam. They'll do an oral exam for general. They'll do an oral exam for power plant. They'll do an oral exam for airframe. Mm-hmm. What does the time frame look like on how long those oral exams take? And do you have any advice on preparing for that oral exam for an applicant?
Everything's based on their performance on their knowledge exams, the computer exams. The higher that they score, the less amount of oral questions that there will be. And on the ACS system, it talks about this. If someone were to make a 100, it says in the system that they could have a minimum of 4 questions. I haven't had anyone have a 100, but I have had oral exams where on general or airframe or power plant, there may have been 5 or 6 questions. If they score a 70, depending on how many subjects they miss from, they could have on general up to 22 questions, airframe and power plant up to 34 questions. I haven't seen a test that's had the maximum yet. Again, the algorithm of the computer for the FAA system, it also varies on how many subjects that they miss from. So an oral exam for general, if there's only 5 to 10 questions, may take 2 or 3 minutes. But like, again, you could be a bad test taker and you stare at the ground for 5 minutes per question and look at them and go, can you repeat the question? So,
what's the advantage of having more questions versus a small, because when I think about it from my standpoint, I'm like, oh, only 4 questions. That initially that sounds fantastic, but then
but
I think
it's not,
but it's not right.
It's not because everything's based on 70%. In FAR 65, it states that all tests must be passed with a 70. So if you only have 4 questions, you can only miss 1.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you have 20 questions, you can miss 5 or 6. As long as you don't drop below the 70. Mm-hmm. It's the same on a practical. 70%. 9 questions on general, 11 on airframe, and 11 on power plant. As long as you get 7 out of the 9 or 8 out of the 11, it passes. If you fail anything past that, it's no harm, no foul. It does not fail the test because you've already reached that 70%. But people think, oh my God, I'm going to have a 6-question oral. That's amazing. Or if they made a 100 and they go, well, I'm only going to have 4 questions. And then my response is, yeah, but now you have to study all the subjects in general, because are you going to get 1 question from 4 subjects? Are you going to get 4 questions from 1 subject? You get to study everything.
Which subjects are they going to come from?
You bet. Mm-hmm, right. You bet. And then people go, oh no.
Yeah.
This new testing is a nightmare for perfectionists. Those that feel they have to be perfect in everything, make 100, because then they don't test, because they feel they have to go back and read everything and become an expert in everything for that fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. This is why if you score between a 70 to maybe 83, but miss from a multiple subjects, and you can cross-reference those onto the ACS system, mm-hmm. and you can map out what your test is. I've had many people from different schools where they've come to me with a paper and they've had every ACS code. They've gone on that PDF. They show exactly everything. And when they come and do their test, yeah, they mapped out their test ahead of time, mm-hmm. and they do much better.
Mm. Interesting. So that's for the oral part. What does a practical test look like for, like, can you give an example of like a practical, like a general practical project?
Every general exam will have a maintenance logbook entry. One of the things that people get in trouble with on the maintenance side, even though as a pilot doing his own preventative maintenance, is they don't know how to do paperwork, logbook entries. Mm-hmm. The regulations are very specific, but every test will have a maintenance logbook entry. Sometimes you could have an inspection logbook entry. I mean, there's projects where you may have to look up part numbers, be able to use a multimeter to check either voltage, current, resistance, opens, shorts, a weight and balance calculation, fabricate a fluid line. And the airman certification standards, they lay out all the possible projects that could be done. The one thing that's different now is with the project are the 2 questions that we are required to ask that go with the project. And those they're allowed to look up in the handbooks or the FARs or the 4313. Mm-hmm. Is it a perfect system? Not really. We don't really know. It determines how well you take a test based on where you were deficient mm-hmm. the day you took your computer test. You may be an amazing student. You may have gone through and you memorized everything for your computer test, but maybe the day you took your test, you got a cold and your brain just wasn't thinking right. And you missed from a variety of subjects. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing. It really isn't, because you can go in and kind of map out your own test.
Yeah.
Now, same with power plant. If you didn't miss any questions from ignition system with magnetos, you're more than likely not going to have a magneto project on your test. But if you scored really high on your test and the computer doesn't have enough subjects to pull from, it could randomly give you a project from a subject you didn't miss. So right. you may get the magneto project. You could get 2 or 3 projects in the same subject. It just depends on where you were deficient. So,
well, I'm wondering if, and I know it's changed because even you said like this process isn't mm-hmm. even that, it has been around, it's new kind
of,
right?
1 year now. 1 year, as of August 1st, it'll be 1 year.
Okay, gotcha. So I'm wondering, if you don't mind asking, what was it like when you took your test back whenever you took it?
Oh, mine?
Yeah, what was it like doing your testing? And does any of that apply?
Well, I have this skill that, okay. That I've learned over the years.
Testing
where
skills?
No, you just block out traumatic experiences in your life. You push them way down, just swallow them up.
Yeah, that's a good skill.
I remember my test. I always kind of talk about the thing that I remember most about it was I had to troubleshoot a lighting circuit in a 150. So there's assessed a 150, and the guy's like, okay, go troubleshoot the lighting circuit. And so go in, and, you know, turn power on, master switch, you know, hit the cabin light.
Yeah.
That's what I was testing. Nothing. You know, I look up, pop the cover off, and there's no light bulb in there. So I grab a spare bulb, right. Put it in, works. He's like, good job. Fine. And, you know, I thought that was so incredibly simple. But then when you talk to guys that are examiners or people that have been around a long time, they're like, you'd be surprised. People start digging into the wiring, looking all behind the back before they check to just go, hey, is there a bulb?
Right.
Is the bulb good?
Yeah.
Right. Like, so, you know, that.
And as an examiner, when I put that kind of fault, like remove the bulb, put the cover on, or remove the color lens off of a wingtip, this is a trick. This is too simple. Right. No, you're trying to train. No, I mean.
This is troubleshooting.
It's troubleshooting. Yeah. Or put a open in a circuit. All right. Unplug a Canon plug.
Yeah.
Well, no, it can't be that simple. Well, that's the first thing I'm going to look for. Is the wire disconnected?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Is the light bulb missing?
Right. So that's I always thought, I was like, well, I mean, I guess I troubleshoot an electrical system.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have kept going farther, but hey, it's a really simple circuit anyways, right. But there's no light bulb. And the guy was like, good job. And then he hit a prop with a hammer and, blended that in.
Yeah.
And I think the prop was about, 2 inches thick at this point. You know, he had it forever. I did mine here on Addison Airport.
Yeah.
With a guy named Jerry.
Yep, Jerry Reeves. I tested with him not long after he became a DME at Texas Aerotech.
Yeah.
So, yep, I tested with him too.
Oh, wow.
I knew him well. Yeah, I know about the toothpick propeller. It's like the old cartoon where they take the redwood tree and they run it through and
make a toothpick.
And there's a toothpick out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
My inspector, who is also your inspector from the FISDO, he would come out and goes, wow, your propeller's still in good shape. I said, yeah, I don't put a massive nick out. He goes, man, these guys up here at Addison, man, there's like a toothpick now. But that project's no longer on the test. It used to be required on every power plant practical test under 65. But now you only get it if you have an issue, if you miss that on your test.
Yeah.
Well, it's even you telling that story and then, you adding into it, it's similar to what you were saying earlier. It's like, hey, keep it simple. Like the shirt's great, But what do you think it is that makes someone overthink something like that? Maybe they're not believing that they know what they need to know?
It's test anxiety.
Yeah.
And Jeff sees that way more than I do,
Right. And it's misinformation. Mm-hmm. It's bad rumors, things like that. Well, inspectors are out there to fail you. They're out there to try to trick you.
Mm-hmm.
No. All right. I may not be the most ethical person in the world, but when it comes to testing, I take it serious. This is my 19th year.
Mm-hmm.
I test a lot of people. It's like when you're the fastest car at a race or a horse, everyone's watching you. And I want to make sure everything's done right. I make sure, the tools are there. Yeah, my hanger, it looks like a tetanus shot just walking in there. It gets messy sometimes, but it's an aircraft hangar.
Yeah.
But I'm not there to fail people. I'm not there to sell a license.
Mm-hmm.
Just administer the test. Before a test, I try to talk people off the ledge. I'm not going to hit right into it. And okay, here we go, attack. No, I know people are nervous. I hear it every time. Well, I'm really nervous. I'm really scared. Will you take it easy on me? Well, I don't control your test. Only you do. Being nervous and scared does not control the test that I downloaded from the FAA that you engineered when you took your computer test.
Mm-hmm.
Being nervous and scared only affects how you take your test up here.
Mm-hmm.
During the oral, I don't look you in the eye. No one wants the examiner staring at them during the oral. Some examiners will ask you a question, for instance, what's 1 + 1? And you'll go, 2. And they sit there and they're looking at their computer or they're crossing the arms. And in your head, just like the light bulb, they're in their head going, oh my God, he hasn't said anything else. Maybe it's not 2.
Right.
No, it's elephant. And they go, boom, I gotcha. No, that's not that's wrong.
Yeah.
But people think that's what we do. That's what we're here for. No, that's not what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
The test is a small part of aviation maintenance in the whole community. When they go out there to work in the field, no matter where they go, they're going to be trained on what those companies, how they want them to do their processes, their paperwork, everything else. I'm just there to determine if they have the basic knowledge and basic skills. And I repeat those words over and over all the time because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not there to trick you. I'm not there to try to fail someone. I may look like I'm angry all the time, but that's not the case. That's just my face.
Uh-huh.
So it's just me. And I get told all the time, oh, you're intimidating me. Why?
It's like, yeah, I think you just feel intimidated.
Right. And this is why before a test, we'll sit and talk. Why did you go to AMP school? Because everyone has a different story on why they went to AMP school.
Mm-hmm.
Even my story too.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's got a different story of why they want to be a mechanic or why they need to be a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's a legacy, their father, their grandfather, mm-hmm. something like that. Others, something to do to change their life. They were working dead end job and something where they needed to just do something or some people just love airplanes.
Yeah.
So everyone's got a different story. So I'll talk about it with them. I'll talk them off the ledge, try to have them decompress.
You know, if we were to, if you were to try to teach every single possible practical task, you know, A&P school would be 7 years long.
Oh yeah.
You would forget everything you did at the beginning of it anyways.
Yeah. So, but there's some projects that really in every school should be done.
Well,
you know, there's certain projects that everybody, you know, you really should know if they're going to GA how to bleed brakes. But there's some things that they should do. But that fear of the unknown.
Right, right, right. And at the end of the day, it sounds like if you can't squeeze everything in, then you should be able to know how to find anything. Boom. And that's probably like
That's the real underlying thing is, you know, learning how to use tools properly, learning how to use technical data, knowing what's in the 4313, knowing what is contained in the FARs.
And critical thinking.
Yeah.
Being able to use
your thinking skills.
Well, we're people in public school system where it's just teach a test, teach a test, teach a test. There's no critical thinking skills. Not having to actually use their brains to find it. It's just, I'm going to school to do.
Right.
To take a test. And sometimes in the A&P schools, when they have to start troubleshooting, and sometimes they didn't learn about that in junior high or high school, or sometimes even in college, and they go to A&P school, well, how am I supposed to find this? Where does it tell me how to do this? In the manual, it just says, find it. Oh, well, you're going in and you don't know where to go. And you would think a manual says A plus B equals C. But sometimes to get to C, you got to go from A to M, back here and back and forth. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. And that's one thing we see as examiners. And we talk about this at our trainings, that people forgot how to use critical thinking skills, how to troubleshoot, how to do deductive reasoning.
Right.
Well, it doesn't tell me in here to remove the wheel that I got to jack up the wing. Well, that's kind of a common sense thing.
Like note-taking is really a thing. You know, they come into class and they pay attention and they're, you know, they're with us, they're reading along in the 8083, or they're trying to absorb, but they take no notes. And then 3 weeks later, they're like, we didn't cover this. I'm like, yeah, we did. What do you have on your notes for that day? Oh, I don't take notes.
You gotta take notes, yeah.
So taking notes is more than just having something to look back over. It's like that kind of, okay, you're seeing it, you're hearing it, you're writing it down, right? Like you're getting all those different touch points of, and when people say, hey, I learn with my hands better, right? Like that's the number one thing that I hear from, especially mechanic students, right? Like I learn by doing. Well, you know what you're doing when you're writing down, taking notes, you're doing something with your hands. It really is helpful.
And one problem I see,
I take notes all the time and I can't read them the next day because my handwriting is terrible, but it helps me to remember. You
know, exactly.
Yeah. I took shorthand in high school and you know, when you look at that, it's another language.
Yeah.
And I know three languages. And so I would, when I would take notes, I would do it in different languages as I went. And then I'd go back. Why did I do that? But when I visit multiple schools, it's the same thing. Now, especially after COVID, the PowerPoint teaching world. And this is what I hear from all schools. Well, that wasn't in my instructor's PowerPoint in my class. I said, so did you take notes? No. They just said, whatever's on a PowerPoint, just pay attention to that. That's what you need to know. Well, No, that's not how it is. So when you have an instructor, when I taught in A&P schools and when I had my A&P school, instructors didn't sit. They stood in podium. They instructed. Now you have instructors that sit at a desk with a mouse clicking, all right, read this slide, read this slide, read this slide. Any questions? Read it. Okay, now let's watch this YouTube video. Let's watch this crash video. All right, let's watch this slide. And students, they're back there on their phones, just texting away or no watching movies. There's no engagement.
And that's why I try to explain, like, it may not seem like it, but you are using your hands. Very similar to the way you're taking a bolt out of a.
And the difference between the beginning of the exam, when I start an exam, and the end of the exam. And this is what I see 80% of the time at the beginning of the exam. I'm really scared. I'm really nervous. I really don't expect. And they're freaking out, stroking out, whatever you want to call it. And but then at the end of the test, it's, oh my God, I was freaked out over this. So, I mean, it's two completely different ends of the spectrum. At one point, it's, I'm not going to survive this. It's the end of the world. And at the end, they're like, I should have done this months ago or a year ago. I have an applicant now. He graduated AMP school in 1994. He's just now doing his tests. Mm-hmm. He finished his computer test. Now he's got to do his OMP. Mm-hmm. I've had applicants that were my students that graduated 2007, 2010, you know, anytime. And they never tested because they were too afraid to test. Mm, and then my question is, how much money have you lost in pay raises, overtime, and promotions? How many jobs have you missed out on because you didn't have that ticket in hand? And then when they test, they're like, oh my God, Jeff, what have I been doing the last 10, 12, 15 years?
Mm-hmm. What I would like to kind of end on is, what is your advice for an applicant getting ready to test the next day? What should their evening routine look like?
So don't stay up all night trying to cram. It does not work. You're going to increase your anxiety, adrenaline, endorphins, and everything. Eat before the test. Don't do it on an empty stomach. Don't drink energy drinks. Don't drink Mountain Dews and energy drinks and coffee before the test. Eat. Don't second guess yourself and start searching YouTube, Quizlet, and everything else. Maybe I don't have enough study materials, and go hunt out stuff, and then you find other questions and other study materials. I need to make one thing perfectly clear. There is no study guide out there that's going to give everything that's on this test. The FAA does not produce the study guides. They're publishing companies that make study guides. You have Jeppesen, ASA, and all of these, and none of them are perfect. The 8083 handbooks, the textbooks from the FAA is where everything is based from.
So thanks for joining us this week on Nuts About Thrust. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.